views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host. Who am I again? Oh, yeah. Russ LeBlanc. Darn you, faulty memory. yes, Club ADHD, the podcast. Part of a three-pronged approach when it comes to Club ADHD. We've got the podcast, the Facebook page, and the Twitter account. And they're all brought to you by the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC. That's C-A-D-D-A-C. Throw in a .ca in there and hop on the website. You got to have the internet. Of course you do. You're listening to the podcast, but I digress. Go on their website and check out all of their information. It's interesting stuff, folks. I'm sure you'll benefit from it. Even if you don't have ADHD, you will benefit from the knowledge of knowing the real facts about ADHD. Plus, attention all ADHDers, when you go on their website, be sure to check out ADHD Speaks. I mentioned this before, and I'll keep mentioning it. It's a terrific endeavor, a way that we can make our voices heard by combining our voices. And it will only take a few moments of your time. You might even think it's fun. Check it out. For more information, that's cadac.ca. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know how it works. I come on, I do my thing, I make some observations, tell you what's going on in my life, all that stuff. Hopefully it's all relatable. And then we get into our interview. Well, yesterday I thought we're going to change things up for this podcast. And yeah, I'm doing this podcast. You might say, hey, you did one a week ago. I know, I got to get caught up. Just look at it as a benefit. You're getting more punch here. You had a little bit of a vacation, now we're throwing them out there. In any case, that's what I thought I'd do. And I had every intention in doing it that way, that I'll make some observations after the interview, because it was a very interesting interview. The interviewee, boy, talk about impressive. Very positive outlook. And she's been hit with some things. Woo. But she's made the best out of it. And it's just rolling along. And her strategies or observations, whatever you want to call them, it's worth a listen. I know you'll benefit from them. I know I have. It got my mind going. After we shut off the microphones, you know, I was talking with her and I failed to mention some of the things she's done that, to me, very impressive. And I'm sure you'll be impressed too. So I want to list some of those things, some of the points we didn't touch upon, and some of the points that I can expand on as a person involved in communications. And I think it'll help our cause. I know it will. So please, after the interview, stick around. Don't say, okay, I'm just here for the interview, folks. Just here to listen to the interview. Please, listen afterwards. I know I can throw out some information that you will find interesting and helpful. There, I said it. Now, that was the strategy as of yesterday. However, things change. Nothing stays the same in this world, right? Well, a couple of hours ago, I hopped on my Facebook page and I saw this ad, and that's where I thought, oh, I've got to mention this on the podcast. It's worth mentioning because what I read, this ad I read from Facebook, actually it was on Facebook, was very unsettling. That's how I felt. It was from a company that's based in Toronto. Now, I'm also based in the Toronto area. Yeah, I'm from Boston, but I live in the Toronto area. Hey, I get around. And I think you'll find this interesting even if you don't listen in, even if you don't live, I should say, in the Toronto area. It's something that, well, what are they trying to say? I thought, you know, they're saying the wrong things. They're implying some things maybe they didn't even mean to imply. But, you know, if you read something, if you hear something, the way that it's structured can create an image. And it could be a false image. And to me, this ad I'm about to read to you sets up a false impression. It really enforces the myths and inaccurate stereotypes about ADHD that are floating around there. Some of you might look at this ad and say, "Yeah, no, I didn't get that." And that's cool. I get it. But to me, as a guy involved in advertising, it's a little bit unsettling. That's the best way I can put it. So here is the ad I read. The relaxed performance for Come From Away on May 26th welcomes patrons of all ages, including those on the autism spectrum with a sensory or communication disorder, ADD/ADAHD, little typo there, folks, a learning disability, or anyone who would benefit from a relaxed atmosphere. Okay, so what's this about? This is from Mervish Productions. The Mervish people produce high quality, Broadway quality performances. Matter of fact, when plays are played in their theaters, the next step is to go to Broadway. Just the way it is. Come From Away is one of those plays that started here and went to New York, doing great things. And if you're not familiar with it, it's a fantastic play. It's a play dealing with 9/11, not about the planes crashing into the Twin Towers. It deals with what happened when the airspace was closed and all of the planes up there had nowhere to go. They couldn't land in New York. Where do we go? Well, how about Newfoundland? And several of those planes did land in Newfoundland, in Gander. And all of a sudden, this small community becomes a larger community because all these people have to get off the plane, and who knows how long they're going to be there. And the folks of Newfoundland, they rallied together, and they really made them feel welcome. It was a testament on the human spirits, and that's what this play is all about. It's a good play. I'm just giving you this background. The Mervish people they've got the production running here in Toronto. And they came up with this idea. Somebody or a group of people thought, hey, why don't we do it this way? We'll calm things down. And then we'll do up this little ad. And we'll focus on some people who will benefit from a calmed down version of this play. Now, I have to say this. Come From Away is not exactly action-packed. There's dancing, there's singing. I get it. There are no guns firing. There are no loud booms that I know of. It's a good play. It's a fun play. It's an enjoyable play. It's not a scary play. How are they going to calm things down? Are they going to sing quietly? Will they be mime introduced into the play? I don't know. All right. I'm being a little sarcastic. Okay, a lot sarcastic. What to me was the problem? And I'm focused in on this ADD slash, as they put it, ADAHD. And I thought, oh, you know, yeah, some people will look at this and, oh, aren't they nice? Isn't this wonderful? And I'm sure the local media will feel the same way, and they might even pick up on it. And I'll read this. Oh, isn't this terrific? They're helping all these people. They're helping the ADAHD people. You're not. This ad is not helping things, folks. In my humble opinion, my professional opinion, it isn't helping anyone. Well, maybe it's helping them. Maybe it's helping other people who don't know the real truth about ADHD. And it's helping to foster or to solidify the inaccuracies of the stigmas that are out there about ADHD. And the stigmas that I related to before I was diagnosed, I believed in. That ADD, what's that? Oh, well, yeah, that's a troubled kid. That's a pain in the ass. He's in a classroom. Oh, I pity the teacher. The kid's bouncing all around. Give him some Ritalin. Calm him down. Put him in a corner. There you go. Job well done. That's what this little innocent ad to me is. It's screaming. It doesn't say it. But there are so many ads in advertising, we're conditioned, we're trained. I mean, you want to convey a message that instills a feeling without having to come out and say the feeling. It just does. And my brain, my ADHD brain, flashed. Am I being super sensitive? Some might say yes. And I can appreciate that. Some might disagree with me and say, hey, it's not a big deal. Matter of fact, there was one person who responded to this, and I did list this on our Club ADHD Facebook page, and she rightfully so. I mean, it's her opinion. She said she didn't have a problem with it. She felt she didn't need it. I suspect that she does have ADHD, but she went on to say that, hey, my kids could benefit from seeing this, and that's great. And I respect that. Not everyone's going to agree with me. I'm just going to tell you my side of the story here, folks, and I'm a little concerned. I'm putting on my black hat. Maybe I'm thinking a little too negatively. Maybe. I don't think so. But it's just going to play into those myths. And I don't think that's good. And yeah, I am curious, as I mentioned, what's this play going to look like? I mean, what's it going to sound like? Oh my God, is it going to be super quiet? What's going on here? I've been to lots of their plays. I haven't noticed any rabble-rousing. I've been to plays that involved a helicopter coming down from the stage. No one got upset. Maybe no one had ADHD. I had ADHD. I didn't create a scene. I didn't go run out of the theater screaming. That's just me. Oh, boy. That's my take on it. So what I'm saying here now is that please go on our Facebook page. Comment on this. I'd be curious to see where you're coming from, your thoughts, and it's all welcome. If you agree, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. That's what it's all about. So, yes, I still have some thoughts about our interview today, a fantastic interview. This person who I interviewed yesterday, boy, she's been hit with some things in life. Yes, she has ADHD and a few other things, but she has got such a positive attitude. It just inspired me, and I hope it inspires you. And when we shut off the mics, I found out a little more about her, and I didn't mention it during the interview, and I want to mention it. It's worth mentioning. Plus, I want to elaborate on some of the things that came up in the interview, some things that can help all of us. So please, stick around. I know today's podcast is a little longer than usual. Just think, you're getting your money's worth. Wait a minute, you're not paying for anything. Oh, no, that's okay. Stick around. I'm sure you'll find it valuable. Again, I might be a little bit, well, you know, it's easy for me to say, but I honestly think that there are some points that we all can benefit from. So that's all I'll say. So I mentioned about this swell interview. Yeah, it's swell with a super swell, a super S. Where am I going with this? Did somebody spike the water again? Well, I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm going to the interview portion of this podcast. Up next, we're going to talk to someone who I think is extremely interesting. She has a take on life, well, just terrific, and really inspired me, and I'm sure she's going to inspire you. Now, I've got to give you a bit of a buildup here. How did I come upon this person? Well, she reached out to me. She sent me an email, and she just thanked me for doing the podcast, which was really nice, I thought. She binged on the podcast, started out at the first one and went all the way through the most recent one. She liked it. And she also told me a bit about her story, about her life story thus far. And as I'm reading this, I thought, whoa, this fan of Club ADHD, the podcast, she's going to be a pretty interesting interviewee. I know I can get her to be a part of it. And she agreed. And I'm so glad she did. And after you hear the interview, I know you'll agree that you'll be glad too. Because her outlook on life, oh, yes, she has ADHD. Yeah. Diagnosed late in life, or later in life, in her 40s. Her name is Shelley Ann Morris. And, okay, she has ADHD. However, there are some other things in her life that could be considered as stumbling blocks. The main one here, her sight. Or lack of sight. She is legally blind. Blind in one eye, and she has tunnel vision in the other, I don't know, 5 or 10% if that. Now, that alone would be worthy of someone saying, oh, my life is awful. I'm going to just complain. No, she decided not to. I don't know. It's very interesting here, folks. Very interesting. Some of her takes on things, well, without further ado, let's get right to the interview. Her name, once again, Shelley Ann Morris. And Shelley Ann, started off by telling me when she was diagnosed with ADHD.
I was 44 years old when I was diagnosed. I remember the day clearly. It was November 1st, 2006. And like many people with ADHD, I always knew that there was something, but I couldn't explain what it was. I also have low vision. I see out of one eye, and I have no sight in the other. And so my vision is pretty low. So a lot of times we thought that the mistakes I'd made and the troubles that I was having was due to my lack of vision, lack of eyesight. But some of my low vision peers weren't having the same issues that I was. I seemed to be struggling with certain things, and this got more pronounced in the workplace. I seemed to be running into difficulties with things in the workplace, time management, organizing myself, talking clearly, being succinct, things like that. So I knew that there was something going on, but I didn't know what. And my biggest fear was that I had some sort of a developmental disability. And that's one of the things that kept me from getting diagnosed. And then I was talking it over with a friend of mine who also has ADHD. And he said, Shelley, because you have insight, because you know that there's something going on, it's not an issue with intelligence. There's something happening, either learning or attention. You do need to get this checked out. And that's exactly what I did.
As far as your lack of vision, was that with you, or is that, it's with you now, obviously, but has that been with you your entire life?
Yes, I was born with a condition called optic atrophy. And what that means for me is my eyes are fine, but the optic nerves either didn't form or were somehow damaged. So I have absolutely no vision in the right eye.
Wow.
Profound blindness. And in the left, I see as though I'm looking through a tunnel. So I have a very, very tiny space with which to view the world. But I will tell you, my mom would tell anybody that that never stopped me. She said that I had an extra dose of what she called joie de vivre. So even though I didn't have any, you know, I had problems with vision, it didn't stop me. I was active. I was happy.
Right.
Lots of energy, lots of enthusiasm. But unfortunately, that enthusiasm got a little bit drained as I went to school, and there were some issues there, but also in the workplace too. And I think that's one of the things that led me to my diagnosis.
Did you ever find that being visually, not able to see as well as other people, did that impact your ADHD or the way people perceived you to be? The reason I'm asking is that sometimes people say the wackiest things. They might say, she's like that because she has some eyesight problems. Have you ever had that happen to you?
All the time. A lot of things that happened were attributed to my vision. And one of the things that my diagnosis and then learning about ADHD helped me to sort out was which was the low vision and which was the ADHD. I have a duo of disabilities that conspire to make my life very interesting. So now I'm able to sort of see which I can attribute to having low vision, which is a lifelong issue, and ADHD, which I suppose is a lifelong issue too. It's just I didn't know about it until later in life.
It's kind of strange that, you know, we're combining two things together, the ADHD and your lack of vision. It brings to mind people's inability to see our ADHD. I mean, they can see you with your lack of vision. Maybe you have you're walking with a walking cane or whatever. It could be a canine that helps you. But with the ADHD, it's a little different, right?
Well, absolutely. I do walk with a white cane when I'm outside. And also, I wear a special pair of glasses. It's a modified pair of glasses called an Ocutech.
Right.
And it allows me to maximize the little bit of vision that I have. And also, I have voiceover software on my phone. So with the technology, having low vision is is an inconvenience more than a disability.
Right.
And I've always said this, that of my two challenges, ADHD and low vision, ADHD is a much, much bigger beast to deal with because it's invisible or non-visible. It's also quite nebulous. It affects almost every part of my life. I never know when it's going to crop up. Sometimes people can recognize it in me. I find that some people with ADHD, you know, we talk about ADHD radar. Some people can see it right away. Some other people can see it right away. And others will say to me, I had no clue you had ADHD. Because I guess they still have that stereotyped idea that somebody with ADHD is a child running around in the classroom, being hyperactive and disruptive and impulsive, when in fact, I've learned that women and girls present quite differently, and there are different presentations of it.
Yep, girls aren't as noticeable. You're laid back, and usually it's the boy that's running around, perhaps, and causing mayhem, while the girl is just sitting there and her mind's racing. And, oh, look at that. She can't have ADHD. She looks to be totally calm.
And that's why podcasts like yours are doing such a good thing. We're helping to break that stereotype. And as you always sign off and say, ADHD is real. There are still people who don't think it's real. And those of us who live it day to day, we know it is. But it's what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest decisions that I made very early after I got my diagnosis, first of all, I was relieved. It was like a great weight came off my shoulders. And I knew that I had a very quick decision to make. I thought, when I step out of the psychologist's office and I go back into the world, I can choose. I can't choose to have ADHD. This is the hand that I was dealt.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can choose is what I do with it. I can be better or bitter. And that sounds cliche, but that's kind of what's guided me since 2006 when I was diagnosed.
I like that phrase because I feel that, yeah, it might sound a bit corny, as you say, cliche. However, those are the things that people remember, that, you know, better or bitter. I mean, it's almost like in advertising, you come up with a catchphrase. Well, that's a pretty good catchphrase to live your life.
Thank you. It certainly has made me a better person, I think. I don't mean to brag, but what it's done is it's made me a very compassionate person. Because people have said some pretty hurtful things.
Sure.
And I know the word bully is very charged these days, so we won't use that. We'll just use the word harsh. There were people in my workplace in the past who'd said some very harsh things. They didn't know that I had ADHD. But I sometimes believe that old saying, hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've really had to work on, and this isn't easy, and when you hear this, you'll probably think, oh, what kind of a Pollyanna is she? But I've really had to work on it, and I've had some coaching, and I've had some counseling. I've had to work through a lot. But one of the things that's really helped me is forgiveness. I've had to really work on forgiving.
Oh, that's tough.
It's tough. It's not easy. It's not something you can do overnight.
Well, especially for us. I mean, we're so hyper-focused that, what do you mean I have to just carry on? No, I want to dwell on this.
Exactly. But the way I look at it is, if I dwell on all the hurtful things that people said, I can't move forward. And you know that old saying, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Mm-hmm.
If I keep dwelling on what the bullies had said to me or what those harsh people in my workplace had said, they've won.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to win. Instead, I've taken that, all that knowledge, and turned it into how I work with other people and how I am in the world. And
right.
One of the things, if I may, I'd like to share a story. One of the jobs that I had was coordinating some volunteers for a festival, a music festival.
Right.
And I was in charge of about 75 of the volunteers who were going to come and help out. So what I did is I wrote an introductory letter to all the volunteers because they didn't know me. I was new at this job. And I said, My name is Shelly Ann. You'll meet me for the first time on this day. Don't be surprised when you see me, because you're going to see a lady with a white cane.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Please ask all the questions you like. I do have low vision, and I explained a little bit about myself so that they wouldn't be in shock when they met me for the first time, because it is still a bit of a shocker. So I sent out that email en masse, and within 10 minutes, I started to get emails back from various volunteers, and one of them said, well, I walk with a cane. I have diabetes. I have a heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only allowed to stand for a certain amount of time. I have anxiety. So people started to come forward to tell me about their own issues. And then one in particular was quite interesting. A gentleman wrote to me and he said, I volunteer with this festival. I have been for years. I'd like to bring my daughter. I should mention to you, she has ADHD, and she is also on the Asperger spectrum.
Right.
She never knows what she's going to find when she goes into a situation. So I wrote back to him, and I said, well, come and see me. Tell her to come and see me, and we'll work out, you know, what she can do and what would work best for her. And you know, that was she was one of my best volunteers.
Wow.
And she even said to me at the end of the festival, she said, I've had a great experience. I didn't have to hide who I was. And that's kind of what I stand for. Nobody should ever have to hide who they are.
Sure.
I love creating safe spaces for people. It's just something that I guess, as I've said, because I've been hurt, I make sure that no one else gets hurt. And I just think that's what I take pride in. And I'm glad that I was able to do that.
Shelly Ann, it's funny you say that, because sometimes we do tend to cross the line. And when you know that you have ADHD, you're aware of that. And even with our conversation right now, I've got to be totally candid, and that's what I try to do on this podcast, is that when you were just mentioning the fact that you wanted to bring to light that you didn't want to shock people with your, you know, coming across as, hey, that person can't see. I didn't think that was to happen. That wouldn't bother me, unless, of course, if you were maybe a driving instructor or something, but that's, you know, that's the first thing that came to mind. And then secondly, I've got to admit this, and those people who are listening to the beginning of the podcast here, our talk, it's the ADHD, trying so hard to, well, things pop in my brain. And with today's PC world, I don't want to refer to your used to call as blind. Like, boy, am I going to say the wrong thing? I don't want to say the wrong thing. And that's what going through my... But that's the funny thing is that sometimes when we know that we cross the line, we get overly concerned about it. And, you know, it just consumes us. And that's what happened just now. And it's kind of funny about that. I'm sure maybe some people are laughing about it, but
I'm very open about it. I always say I have low vision, or if I'm, you know, with people who may not understand what that is, I'll say blind. It's mm-hmm. not a dirty word.
No,
it's who I am.
But that's the thing, though. There are some people out there who are trying to, and it makes it challenging for us with ADHD, who are trying to get along in this world and trying not to cross too many lines. But then all of a sudden, you know, as of a couple of years ago, there are more lines. The line's bigger and it's closer. And what's going on?
Well, do you know, within 10 minutes of meeting me, a lot of those volunteers completely forgot that I have low vision, because I can make people feel very comfortable with me in a very short period of time. And I tend to say I have ADHD. I don't say I'm ADHD,
mm-hmm.
but I don't mind if other people, you know, say that. That's fine. I say I have ADHD. And just like I have low vision, but I don't really get hung up on words. And I don't think of myself as visually challenged or physically challenged. To me, I'm physically challenged when I do a triathlon or climb in the CN Tower stair climb or do whatever. I do a lot of sports. I have lots of energy, even now. And health and fitness and eating well and taking care of myself physically has really helped me. And it was interesting. There was a few podcasts back where you were talking about medication and blood pressure. And I'm going to be 57 next week, and I'm really on that because now that I'm on the Concerta, my Concerta is working really well. I'm able to focus, and I don't want that taken away from me.
That's right. I'm calm. Blood pressure, stay low.
I'm working really hard to keep that blood pressure nice and low, you know, through diet, through exercise, through mindfulness, all those things that I've learned to do. But, you know, we really have done well speaking up. And I think one of the things, too, is, and sometimes I've heard this on past podcasts where people talk about, do I divulge this in the workplace or not? I've had some coaching, and my coach and I developed a script. So if I've gone into a workplace and I don't feel that they may be receptive to the idea of ADHD, I have some things I'll say. I work best when, and then we have about five or six strategies that seem to work well for me. And the best managers and the best bosses that I've had are those who allow me to use those strategies. So building work plans works well. Setting deadlines. Like if you come up to me and you simply machine gun a task at me with no deadline and no parameters, we're lucky if it gets done.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to put it step by step, or let me put it step by step. And I think that works well for everybody. Also, email can be quite a challenge. When I write an email, people call it the party invitation email, because instead of giving people a big blurb of a paragraph and expecting them to try to figure out what I want them to know, I will have it set out date, time, location, purpose, everything in point form. I use a lot of highlighting and bolding for those who are visual. For those who don't see and are using screen readers, that doesn't work. But for a lot of people, I use a lot of highlighting and color coding myself.
Sure.
So once we get the strategies in, we can fly. That's what I tell people all the time. And sometimes employers may say things they don't mean to be cruel, and they don't mean to say it. But I don't know about you, Russ, but when people say, "As I told you," that has the effect. It feels like a knife has just been driven through you.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is, "What are you, stupid? You weren't listening."
Exactly.
And when people say, "As I told you," that's one of the phrases that I'll just shut right down. I had to learn to deal with that one. So things like that, just putting your best foot forward and letting people know how you work best. So if somebody is giving you a task, and this is one thing, again, hearing about this on a podcast, if you give a person with ADD or ADHD a task, and you give them five or six things in that task, you just come by and you just machine gun that task at them, they may have heard the first thing you've said, and maybe the second thing, and maybe the last thing. They've missed out on steps 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
So, and then they have to go back and ask for clarification. So it's always best to put things in steps, and not just like a big, you know, like a garden hose of information.
I like those strategies, especially the one that you really hit on, because I'm involved in advertising, and you know, you want to make sure that people absorb what it is you're saying. But the fact that sometimes we hang our hat on those letters, ADHD, that if you were to go in and say, "Yes, I have ADHD," and then blah, 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 a lot of the time a person might be focused on ADHD, and you could be saying, "I work best," blah, 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 blah. They're not hearing it. However, as you say, if you go in and not even mention it, but you touch upon some of the things that are relevant to how you work best, that's a good strategy, because you don't have to be, well, you don't have to be labeled as some, ADHD, well, a little mental problem there. But no, you just state, "Hey, this is the way I work best. What can we do?" That's right.
This is how I roll.
So if we stop getting caught up on that ADHD and just, you know, focus on the reality part of it, that's great.
It's so true. And, you know, even outside of work, One of the things that I have a lot of trouble with is extraneous or intermittent noise. Some people can shut out that noise. I can't.
Right.
I'm hearing everything. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a little less now because of the Concerta, but it's been described to me as, well, you know, I'd mentioned Christmas time in Whoville. If you remember that scene in the old, very iconic cartoon, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grinch is standing there holding his ears and he's going, oh, the noise, 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 that noise down in Whoville. You know, that's my life all the time.
Really, yeah. That you're not alone on that one. There are a lot of people that have that same situation.
And, you know, one of the things that happens to me is depending on how tired I am or depending on how distracted I am, sometimes phone calls can be very, very difficult. So mm-hmm. if somebody is doing something while they're talking to me on the phone, like I'll hear sort of the cling, clang, badang of dishes going on.
Chewing.
I was wondering why that bothered me so much, but now I know. But at the same time, I can't be Miss Princess. You know, the sun doesn't shine on me alone. And we have to realize that people live in a noisy, busy, messy world. And I don't expect people to be having to slip into an anechoic chamber just because they want to talk to me on the phone. So I've really had to sort of channel that a little bit if I can. But now I know why it bothers me, whereas before I just had no clue as to why I would be taken off course by the noise or by the static or by the extra noise in the conversation. But now I know. So that helps explain a lot.
Have you ever found yourself asking or telling that person, hey, what the hell are you doing?
Well, I sort of said, you know, did you want to call me back later on?
Well, you're very polite.
I try.
Isn't that nice?
And be very polite. But when people put me on speakerphone, that's a disaster because I'm hearing everything around me. Right now, I'm in closed circuit here at CKCU-FM where there's nothing here to distract me, which is working really well. But that is one of my biggest challenges with ADHD. The other thing is we also have problems with working memory.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that can be a real problem. So my best friends are sticky notes. I have sticky notes everywhere. I'm color coding things. I'm writing things down. And, you know, I've had people say, why are you doing that? And they probably look at it as overkill. But again, this is how I roll. This is how I got to do it.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
Yeah, I can relate. I have a lousy memory, and sometimes I forget that I have a lousy memory. Bada boom.
But sometimes you can hyper-focus on certain things. I have an amazing memory for special occasions, for birthdays and anniversaries, and when things happened. You know, that's fine, but if I have to do something, or I have to remember to do something. And of course, now I'm using my phone. I'm using a lot of technology.
Sure.
I'll just send myself a note or I'll get Siri to put it in my calendar. Technology is a wonderful thing once you harness it.
Sure. I'm going back to something that we talked about, that the fact that, you look at what you've been given, whether it be ADHD or the fact that you're not seeing as well as some of us do as far as your eyesight is concerned. Being diagnosed later in life, as was I, do you find that it's somewhat challenging to say, okay, you have this, you didn't know you had it? It's just like with your eyesight problems. I mean, I would think that since you were born that way, and that's why I asked earlier, that you don't know any different, so, you know, you just get on in life. And the same thing with us with ADHD. No one told us about it, so we thought it was normal. We thought everybody else had the problem. How did you react when finally, officially, you were diagnosed and someone said to you, yeah, you have ADHD, and you have created some problems? Did you find yourself, hyper-focused on that?
I guess a little bit, but not really. I tend to draw strength from my challenges. I mean, we all feel that way every now and again. We all have regrets. I should have done this career, or I should have studied this, or I should have done that. I think we all feel a bit that way. Sure, I think it's had some bearing on the decisions I've made and some of my life choices, I suppose. But even though I was diagnosed at age 44, I prefer to think of it as that was the school of hard knocks that I had to go to, that I had to experience in order to get where I am now. And a good example of this is, well, you see, whether, I don't know whether this is part of your intro for me or not, but I'm talking to you from a radio station.
Right, I was going to get to that. Yeah. I mean, what's that? What are you doing there?
What am I doing here? Well, I co-host a weekly show here on CKCUFM here in Ottawa from Carleton University, and the show is called Welcome to My World, and the show is by, for, and about people with disabilities. And the whole aim of the show is to change the conversation about disability. We do talk about, you know, the challenges that people with disabilities encounter, but we also talk a lot about the positives as well.
Right.
So I've been doing this now for about 5.5 years. It'll be 6 years next month.
Great.
So it's been quite the experience. And on one of my shows, I invited my ADHD coach to come on because it was October. It was ADHD Awareness.
Good idea, month. Yeah.
And I thought, why don't I talk about this? I've lived it. I've overcome quite a few of its challenges. Let's get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, doing this show and my coach was on and we were chatting. And later on, a friend of mine emailed me and he said, I was listening to your show. I think I have ADHD as well. So I said, if you think that, get it tested. Just find out. So he did, and it turns out he's one of us.
Well, that's great that you helped him.
He's part. But here's the thing. A couple of months ago, he left me a voicemail message. And in the message, he said, you know, I forgot to take my medication today, and I couldn't figure out why. I just couldn't seem to get it together. And he says, boy, oh boy, am I ever glad I got the help.
Yeah.
So I'd like to think that because of what I went through, maybe my story might have helped another person get the help.
Sure.
That he did. And that, to me, is reward enough. So I spend very little time dwelling on the past. And hopefully, having gone through that, maybe it's going to help somebody else.
Well, Shelly Ann, I'm going to give you a round of applause for that.
Yeah.
I don't like what you're doing. You're not sitting at the sideline action. You're getting involved in the game and helping people.
Well, we talked about music earlier, and you know how you use stingers.
Yep.
Before the interview part of the podcast, and I was telling you how I was focusing on the songs. And, you know, I'd hear the Doors, and I'd go, oh, classic rock, I want to make a playlist. Or, you know, TLC, oh, R&B from the 90s, I want to make a playlist. And we got talking about music and radio because we both have such a love of radio.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid that we'd go down the radio rabbit hole and the whole interview would be
us
talking about radio. But here's the thing. Sometimes I draw a lot of my inspiration from songs and song lyrics. And truthfully, if I had to put my ADHD into a couple of songs, I call it Good Day, Bad Day. And we all have bad days. And I think my bad day song would be Only God Knows Why by Kid Rock. If you listen to those lyrics, that thing about feeling like a number one, yet I'm last in line. And it's even got sort of that melancholy twang to it. And, you know, that line where he says, I've been walking that there line. I've been given, but just ain't getting.
I was listening to Kid Rock yesterday. Yeah, I hear you.
Now, conversely, there's a beautiful song from the movie The Greatest Showman, which was a story about P.T. Barnum.
Right.
And the circus that he created.
Greatest show on earth.
In that movie, there's a character played by Keila Settle, and she plays the part of the bearded lady in the movie. And she does a song that, for me, is probably my anthem, and it's called This Is Me. And she says, some of the lines in the song. I don't have it committed to memory, but she says something about, I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me. I am brave. I am bruised. I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. And the first time I heard that song, it was like, right on, sister. You know, so that song really, really pumps me up, really gets me inspired. And I think that song maybe was written as a bit of an anthem. I think a lot of people can relate to that song.
Shelly-Ann, we're getting into some strange territory here, almost Twilight Zone type of territory, because, and you didn't know this, I was going to ask you, matter of fact, I was even going to phone you a little earlier, and I was going to say, hey, we both like music. Shelly-Ann, how would you, what song would describe your ADHD? And here you're coming out and doing this. This is freaking me out.
See, we're psychic.
Or a little mental, maybe, but
we're all in tune. But no, music is really important to me. And it's funny because when the psychologist diagnosed me, he said, do you study when listening to music? I said, oh, yeah, constantly.
Yeah.
He said, you're one of those ADHDs who can't study in silence. He said, if you had silence on, it would be deafening. You do need some background music. And I have music on almost all the time, depending on what I'm doing. If I really need to focus, I do put on some instrumental music, a lot of chill, a lot of classical. But yeah, music is like, for me, music is like air. I couldn't do without it.
Do you go to sleep to music?
No. And believe it or not, sleep is one of the things that can be very troublesome for people with ADHD. I have no trouble with it at all.
Really?
I'm going to make people very envious when I say this. I sleep so well, probably because I'm so busy, physically, mentally during the day, that when I go to bed, I crash, and I'm down and gone, and I almost have a perfect sleep-wake cycle. But part of that could be the healthy lifestyle as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so you don't have to battle with your brain not being able to shut off.
No, it's probably so exhausted, it just powers down. But I will say, we talk about ADD and addictions. I have a very healthy caffeine addiction, and I'll readily admit it.
Yeah, but I know some people in the health industry, mental health industry, figures that caffeine isn't all that bad for us ADHDers.
Well, it's probably self-medication.
A lot of people do that before they find out about it.
Absolutely. Well, I've always had a really healthy caffeine addiction. And so I guess part of that could... See, when I got diagnosed, I looked back at some of the things that I do now and some of the things that I did. And I went, yeah, that explains it.
Yeah. Well, it's eye-opening.
It's a relief. It actually is a relief. But as I say, I'm not a Pollyanna. I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
I've really, really had to work on the forgiveness piece. That took a lot of time.
Oh, and I would think so. I mean, I'm still dealing with lots of things like that. Yeah, but I hear you. I do.
There's no shame, and I can't stress this enough. There is absolutely, positively no shame in getting the help that you need. Living with ADHD is tough. It is a life on hard mode, as they say. And you may need some help. Get the help. That's why we have things like this podcast. That's why we have things like Kadak. There is a wealth of resources on that podcast. There's all kinds of podcasts and websites and books and any number of things, and talking to other people who have ADHD, that's going to help. Like, sometimes we might get in each other's way. I have friends that have ADHD, and we're the noisiest bunch there ever was, but we get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, by doing podcasts like this, it's helping to educate. It's helping to break down some of those barriers. I mean, when we think about it, there were a lot of barriers around what people who are blind and low vision could do. It was unheard of at one point that they could work. It was unheard of that they could do sports. It was unheard of that they could do many things. Now we've done so well with you know, disabilities and challenges that we can see. You know, the work that Rick Hansen and Terry Fox mm-hmm. and a number of other people have done, they're pioneers. Now, we do have to turn our attention to the less visible disabilities and start to break down the barriers and the misconceptions and stereotypes around that.
Shelly Ann, I'm trying to fight this off, but I can't fight it anymore. I got to give you another round of applause. I don't know what it is. My hands can't stop clapping.
Thank you. Well, you're doing an amazing job. You just telling your story on the CBC and being so candid. And I think that's one of the things. I like a lot of things about the podcast, but one of the things that I've really enjoyed is just the open honesty with which you and your guests just talk about how it is. No candy coating here. This is great. And I'm hoping that maybe if something I've said might help one more person.
I'm sure it did. It does.
And that's great.
Well, I know that, you know, as far as my situation here, yeah, what do I have got to lose? But there are people, and justifiably so, as was mentioned in the podcast previously, that feel that they can't come out and say, yeah, I have ADHD for fear of being labeled or mislabeled. And would those labels can impact their lives in a negative fashion? And it's sad to think that it's that way, but it is for some crazy reason. Pardon the pun.
Yes, no, it is, unfortunately. And that's why podcasts like this and Kadak and the work that Kadak does and others are slowly, slowly eroding that barrier. You know, I actually graduated from this university many moons ago, and now I'm back here doing a radio show.
I was going to ask you that. Are you taking courses now or just doing the radio show?
No, just doing the radio show now. And long ago, I had a professor, and I cannot do justice to his accent. He was from Africa, so I'm not even going to attempt. And he was teaching a course in multicultural relations. It was one of the electives that I took here. And he once said, you can change the laws in the books, but you can't change the laws in the head. And I think with the work that we're doing here, we are changing the laws in the head slowly, a little bit too slowly, but it's getting there. And I think in time, it will.
Yeah, you're right on with that one. Another, these hands can't stop.
Thank you.
I don't know what's going on here, Shelly Ann. the fact that you're doing your show and you have people coming on and they're telling their stories, is there a common thread with the people who come on who really seem to be succeeding despite what some would term as roadblocks? What would that common thread be?
Attitude. If I had to sum it up in one word, I would say attitude. The people that we've met and the people who've come on our show have really shown that despite having a disability or any kind of a challenge, they can still thrive. And it's been so amazing. The people that we've met, like because we're a cross disability show, we've met people who have ALS. We've met people who have clinical depression. We've met people who are deaf or hard of hearing. We've met people with Lyme's disease. We've met people with cerebral palsy, different kinds of blindness and low vision. And I'm sure that's only the top. That's only a few. When I think of all the people who we've had the pleasure of meeting through our radio program, it's been so interesting to meet them. I get as much out of doing the show. I'm still in the honeymoon stage with it all. Every time I go on the mic, every time our theme gets played and then we start talking, I feel this little adrenaline rush every week. It hasn't gone away. And it's such an amazing experience to be able to do that. And we were trained. We do everything here. We operate the boards. We get people on the phone. We play the music. We cue the ads. We do everything here. And yes, we've had to make a few accommodations. We play a lot of our material from our iPhones, which have talking software. And, you know, the station here has been really, really receptive and really supportive of us. And Welcome to My World is doing quite well.
I've listened to a few episodes. You do a great job. You've got a great sounding voice. Got to tell you that.
Coming from you, that's a compliment.
Well,
I don't know
about that. Yeah, well, I do. I've been around the block, I guess. I've been hit by the block a few times, too. As far as people wanting to check out your show is archived, too, on the website.
It is. So what you would do is you would go to www.ckcufm.com/WTMW. And our shows are archived for about 2 years now. And or as I say, I can go back and listen to all my mistakes for about 2 years.
So we have a lot of fun with it. Part of life. If we didn't live mistakes, where would we be?
Live radio is rife with mistakes. You just have to go on. If you make a mistake, don't dwell on it. Just go on. And you learn every time you step into that studio. You learn a new lesson.
That's a very good lesson, too, because I, as you may or may not know, I also teach public speaking, and I try to intertwine the radio with that. And I'm telling these people that, you know, in radio, we're live, or in this case, we're recorded. But if you're on the air live and you make a mistake, you can't reverse it. However, human nature, you want to come out and say, I shouldn't have said that. The fact is that if you stumble about that, and you want to correct it, then you're bringing light to it and probably more attention than what it got when you first did it. And that's a good way to think about life, right? What you're saying is that, you know, we can't dwell on, we're all going to make mistakes. And if we're so hyper-focused on those previous mistakes, we're not living in the moment.
And it's the same when your ADD gets in the way. If you make a mistake, and you will, because you have ADHD, it's going to happen. Just accept it, you know, and that's all there is to it. I have a sense of humor that's as big as all outdoors. My father is English. He's from the UK. So I have that warped, nasty British
Monty Python type thing, right?
Oh, my goodness. We used to watch Monty Python when we were kids.
Hell's Grannies. Hell's Grannies.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I think we can do the argument sketch verbatim.
No, we can't.
No, we can't. Yes, I told you once. But the thing is that, you know, you do have to laugh with yourself and don't laugh at other people. So when people come to me and if they've made a mistake, well, we'll work around it. And when I'm working with volunteers, I think I can, if I have to teach them something, I think I can do it in a good way without them feeling bad. I've tried to always operate with nobody walks away without a smile. I'm not here to make you feel bad. Mm-hmm. So even if I have to show you something or show you another way to do something, I'll try and do it in the nicest of ways so that you don't feel humiliated. You don't feel put down. You're going to walk away with a smile. And I think that having ADHD is what taught me that lesson. And I think it's helped a lot. I think it's more of a help than a hindrance. People say it's a gift. Well, I wouldn't really say it's a gift all the time, but it certainly has helped me. It's helped me to be who I am today.
Well, it's kind of like a gift, like socks. You open it, oh, socks. But then again, hey, they're going to keep your feet warm. What are you complaining about?
Exactly. And I do have a little bit of the creativity side of it, I guess, being able to do a radio show. And I like writing. I like putting words together. And I always took top marks for creative writing in school. And so maybe that was that little bit of creativity, that spark, that imagination. And I was always told that I have a fantastic imagination. Now I know why.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a help, for sure.
Shelly-Ann, we are on the same wavelength, and I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us, because I know you're helping a lot of people. You're helping me. Hey, maybe you're helping yourself and helping other people. But we want to end this on a positive note, what would you say to the people who are struggling right now with their ADHD?
Well, first of all, Russ, I have to do this.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what are you hitting?
I was clapping for you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
I would say if you have ADHD, get the help. Learn all you can about it. There's lots of resources out there. So listening to podcasts like this, going on websites. There's fantastic books. If you go into your podcatcher and put in ADHD, you'll find all sorts of resources there. Learn all you can. And realize that although it has its challenges, it does have a lot of good as well. It's what you do with it.
There you have it. Was I right or was I right? You know something? I think I was right. Shirley Ann Morris is the real deal. She takes challenges head on. Doesn't matter what they are. Her ADHD, her lack of sight, and all the stuff that goes with it. Sure, she could sit by the sidelines and say, woe is me. Look what I've got. Pity me. Now, she goes out and she does things. She lives life. And isn't that what we want to do? Sometimes we're our own worst cheerleader. We come up with ways and why we can't live the lives we want to live or should live or just live in the past or just sitting by the sidelines, dreading the future. Like it or not, we only have so much time on this earth, so we might as well utilize it. And I'm saying this in the hopes that I'm getting what I'm saying too, that it's just not lip service, because I can fall into that, well, that pot of depression. We tend to boil at times, and it simmers and it simmers. Not Shelly Ann. No, she's getting out there and doing it. Now, I had mentioned about some things that I wanted to add, things that I found out after the interview, and one of which was Shelly Ann's form of activity when she mentioned that she's an athlete. She really is. Now, I'm not just talking about maybe going out for a brisk walk, and there's nothing wrong with that, of course. But Shelly Ann does more than that. Does she go out for a brisk jog? Not really. Shelly Ann does marathons. She does all kinds of thons. Decathlons or whatever. I don't know. These long-a-thons. There's one instance that I read where she was involved in a team. I don't know if it was a competition. I think it was. And it lasted over a day. And she was involved in actively. I mean, not just jogging around the block. Anybody without problems would have a problem with this. But she does it. Yeah, she has to make some adaptations. Whether it be she's tethered to someone, someone's not helping her in that aspect of it, just guiding her along as best, you know, they can without having to push her. And, you know, that's what we're looking for, too. Just a little bit of guidance or just a little bit of a change in the way things are done to adapt at our strengths. And I want to get into that as well. Because there was something mentioned there that I've mentioned a few times before in my marketing background, that sometimes we look at ADHD, the term ADHD, and we put stuff on it. We say, oh, it's our ADHD. Do we blame? Yeah, at times we can. But we always collectively say it's our ADHD. Now, when I was talking with Shelly Ann, we got away from that. She gets away from that, and she focuses on the positives, many of which comes from her ADHD. But she doesn't say, oh, because of my ADHD. She just lists them as her positives, as her, as what we should do. Because, yeah, ADHD is just, well, they're just four letters. Whatever that brings us is a part of us. So let's just focus on, say, the positives, as opposed to focusing on the label. So I know there are some people that are struggling when it comes to employment. I know that for a fact. And sometimes I look at what they say, it could be on Twitter or wherever, and I'm questioning, boy, that's not really promoting yourself by saying my ADHD this and that, and it can get a little depressing. And yeah, we do have bouts of depression. But if you're going out for a job and you want to be truthful, I wouldn't suggest you say, oh, I have ADHD. And then you follow it up with, and here are the benefits with ADHD. You know why you don't do that? Because if someone has a misinterpretation about ADHD, or as they would call it, ADD, as soon as you mention it, no matter what follows after you mention those four letters, that person will more than likely just be focused on ADHD. You could follow up with all the greatest benefits in the world that you can bring to this company, to them, and you could have it all spelled out. But in many cases, that individual is still thinking about ADHD and maybe preconceived, inaccurate, negative, so-called facts. And they're tied up with that. And they're all they're thinking is, this guy isn't for me, or this person, this lady, this guy, this gentleman, whomever. Not for me. I don't want to take that baggage. No, I can't hire this person. As you go on and on about the benefits. So you don't want to give someone the chance to be distracted. We talk about us being distracted, but your so-called normal person can be distracted too. And they can be distracted by saying you have ADHD when you're marketing yourself. So I wouldn't suggest that. Take the tip that Shelly Ann said, you know, just focus on the positives. And here's what I might need in order to get those positives. Again, we mentioned it a few podcasts ago about selling the benefits. You know, what's in it for me? Not you as an individual, but the person who's might be going to hire you or the person who's conducting the interview. So that's one tip I really wanted to bring home. Another thing, there's some irony in Shelly Ann's situation, if you want to call it that, or just her. Yeah, she has ADHD and she's almost totally blind. To me, both of those conditions, if you want to call it that, can play off each other in a positive sense. Now, here's what I mean by that, is that the fact that she has a problem with seeing, it's obvious when she brings out her cane and, you know, walking in that nature, yes, there's some problems here. Now, that situation might attract people who could be considered as empathetic, wanting to help. And Shirley Ann wanted me to mention that her boss is very empathetic and is more than willing to help. Now, if you attract people like that by way of another condition that you have, it could be your lack of being able to see, or maybe you have problems walking, whatever. You can attract people who can help you, who want to help. Now, if you include after that, be it subtly, about your ADHD, if you're attracting those types of people, they're more than likely be willing to hear about the real truth about ADHD and how they can assist you. How can they make some changes? Help you help them. So I have the feeling that Shelly Ann, she's doing the best she can with what she's given and really utilizing it. Now, maybe she realizes this part. I have the feeling maybe not, but I think that's what's happening. Because she's viewing this positively. She's viewing everything positively. And as luck would have it, not luck, it's fact, that one is playing off the other and each other is helping. So how is her ADHD helping her lack of sight? Well, of course, there are situations I've heard, I guess it's true, that when you lose, say, your ability to see, it sharpens other aspects of you. Other senses, because it makes sense, because hey, you're trying to navigate through things. I would think your ADHD would help you do that, especially if you're focused on getting it right. You're focused on maneuvering around the neighborhood or your apartment, your house, wherever, or getting a job or whatever. It seems to me if you are hyper-focused on that, that's ahead of the game. So that's how I think that her ADHD is helping the fact that she has limited sight. Just my observation, and take from it as you see fit, but I think there's some truth to that, or else I wouldn't be mentioning it. So all in all, I thought that was a really good interview. I hope you agree. And it's kind of cool the fact that, you know, she was attracted to Club ADHD, the podcast, because of the topic. She listened to the podcast, liked it, and then got involved. And then here we are. We're learning from her. So you never know. We learn from each other. That's the beauty. And that's what I keep saying about Club ADHD. We can learn from each other and make ourselves better, each other better, helping each other. This is a prime example, in my opinion. There you have it. It's been a long podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you were able to hang through it all. And, you know, I enjoy doing this. I learn from this. I've learned today, and I've learned from our other interviews as well. And I'm sure I'll continue to learn and learn from the Facebook page and all of the inputs that you provide by way of Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, it's good. And let's see if we can really build up this group, because the more we have, the more we'll learn. So please, wherever you can, promote Club ADHD. I would greatly appreciate it. And if you'd like to drop me a line, just visit clubadhd.ca and hit the email icon. It's as easy as that. And just before we go, I want to remind you that Club ADHD is a presentation of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, CADAC. Visit their website, CADDAC.ca, for lots of great information. In closing, this is your cordial ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, wishing you a great day. And by all means, whenever you can, please promote these words. ADHD is real. Bye for now.